Welcome to That American Football Show, powered by EP Sports. EP Sports is one of the top suppliers in the UK for all your NFL or equipment needs. Check them out today at epsports.co.uk. I'm here with Tim, Joe, Craig, and we've got a guest coming on later, Justin Rogers from the European League of Football. He's an all-star there, so do keep your ears peeled for that. But before we do that, let's get to the sheer insanity of the divisional weekend, this last weekend in the NFL. It is worth bringing up the ELF for all our listeners who may have heard about it or just aren't really familiar. But ELF's essentially the rebirth of the NFL Europe, I guess you could guess it, maybe a little bit different. But we're going to be ramping up the coverage as we go, especially after the Super Bowl. So if you enjoy our chat with Justin, make sure you keep your ears peeled for that, because Justin's a great bloke. There's four new teams that I've just joined, so they're definitely expanding. A lot of new players entering the league as they've kind of had a good, successful first year. Just a lot of excitement when Justin joins us. But let's get on to that NFL news first. So probably the biggest thing that's come out since the divisional round is the retirement of Sean Payton, Saints head coach for, how many years he's been there? Got to be over 15, maybe.
Hurricane Katrina, whatever that was.
I think it was 15, I read. That was a number.
I mean, obviously not anymore, but I guess you could put him in the top tier of head coaches, or like Bill Belichick, Reed. Like, that's a big loss for the Saints.
Massive, and he's leaving them as well when their cap is not looking good at all. Isn't it like the worst of all time?
71 million over the cap.
Yeah.
Like the Saints are in a lot of trouble. The only reason they became even close to the playoffs this year was because of Sean Payton being their coach. You know, that alone gave them another 4 or 5 wins. I don't want to know what they're going to be like next year.
To be fair, though, they have got a pretty good coach in waiting, Dennis Allen, who was the Raiders head coach, but he's been their DC for quite a few years, and he was being talked about as a head coaching candidate for other teams. So, and I know they can't just select him and go, right, there you go, we'll give you the job. They've got to interview other people. But I think if they want continuity, they can hire Dennis Allen.
2006 it was, he started there. Okay.
They're 15 years, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And I mean, the rumours swirling about is obviously that he's going to retire. He said he's not calling it retirement. He doesn't like that word. He said, like, his heart's not in football right now, which, to be fair, okay, yeah, you've just had a pretty rough season. I guess they only just missed the playoffs, to be fair. But, he said he's not removing himself from the sport for good. So everyone's then piped up going, oh, so when Mike McCarthy eventually gets fired from the Cowboys, which you can... If he goes 1 or 2 more years of similar results, I feel like that is a real possibility, because Jerry Jones, as much fault as he does get, he wants to win. And he would have no question in mind that... I mean, Sean Payton's been linked to the Cowboys for years. I think he did... Who was it? Where he didn't get the job.
He came from the Cowboys, didn't he, as a coordinator?
Was he not there? He was their OC, I think.
Yeah, he came... so he left there to go to New Orleans as a coordinator.
There's been rumours for years about him leaving. I think, I can't remember what it was a few years ago when the Dolphins were looking for a new coach for Flores, that they were going to actually trade for him, because that's one thing I wasn't sure and had to look up, whether he can just leave and then join another team. Say, like Gronk did, basically, leave and then go, I'm going to be the Cowboys coach. But he can't do that because the coach is still... for want of a better word, owned by the team. So if he did want to go to another team, they've got to essentially trade him and give up compensation for him.
Yeah, he's under contract till 2024. So anytime in that, the Saints would need to give permission and trade him. But yeah, that's probably the biggest news. Obviously, we will talk about... We say this is news, these are all the games, but some headlines that are worth talking about. Brady fails to come back against the Rams. I mean, first of all, every single game this weekend was absolutely mind-blowing. I don't think there's been a better weekend of football since at least I've been watching. I mean, the Rams go up heavily, but it was like 14, 21 points. Nothing going on for the Bucks till like the end of the third quarter. Brady leads the comeback, gets them within one score, and then they just can't pull it out. And I mean, now there's retirement, obviously retirement rumors every single year, but Brady and Gronk are both being linked to, are they going to come back?
But no.
You don't think so? They don't.
I think this is it. It's Brady's tone. He, whenever it gets talked about retirement, he's straight up, I love this game, I'm here to win, yada, yada, yada. This time it's, I need to think about my family, what they want. I just think his tone has changed so much. He's going to think about it. And, you know, if Brady goes, Gronk goes. They're a package. That's how it works. I just don't know. It's just that sense, you know, he went and won somewhere else. He sort of proved everyone that it wasn't just Bill. And, you know, even though he lost his last game, it was still a classic game. I just think that he's happy to call it there, but you never know.
I think he's not going out as well if he did retire on a bad game and people going, oh, that's him. It's not like the last Peyton Manning season. Like, he's had a cracking season. And if you look at that team, they'd lost a lot of their stars, and he was the person that kept them in it. And I'm no great Brady fan, but he was terrific towards the end of that game. So I don't think there's any shame in going out on that game. If that's his last game, fair play, you know, and what a career.
Bucks fans can't really be upset. I was like, you only have Brady for 2 years, but you get a wild card win and you get a Super Bowl. Like, who's going to complain about that?
Yeah.
You get something that some teams have never had. Like, it's more than enough.
And so, moving on to four games, four headlines. Joe Burrow beats the Titans. I mean, I think this was my favorite game personally, but I am a bit of a Burrow homer. But my God, that game was so good.
It was great. How can you get sacked 9 times?
I know.
he lost more yards being sacked than Derrick Henry got rushing. That's how crazy it was. Yeah, it's absolutely mental. Like, yeah, Joe Burrow is, even like, you know, he got absolutely battered, which is not his fault, apart from some of them where he should have thrown the ball away. I think there was two or three.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's a rookie. He'll learn that. But, mate, some of the throws he's putting off, especially towards the end when they did that field goal, was just that little one to Chase on the outside out of bounds was lovely.
It's literally the meme come true when they drafted Chase instead of Penny Sewell, wasn't it? It was like Joe Burrow dropping back and just chucking it as quickly as he can to Chase. That's what's worked all season. He doesn't need protection. And to get to an AFC Championship game with one of the worst offensive lines in the league is some going.
And then the Titans, who I think have got a big pass rush, like I can't remember his name, but their D tackle's unreal. Like, they were getting pressure left, right, and center. But yeah. I think the flip side of the story is Tannehill struggled. For a man that, what, the Titans were championship last year, weren't they? Made it up. They've been to the championship. Like, he had one beautiful pass to AJ Brown for a touchdown, but like, he couldn't get that team out of a hole.
No, but I said this last time. Well, we had this conversation when he signed that deal. Like, he's not that guy. He's not that guy in that position when you're in that game, like a Matt Stafford, or like a, I don't know, like a Brady, like someone who, when it really comes down to it, and you really need them to sort of pull it out the bag and to be someone you can lean on and be really clutch with it. He's not that guy, and he never has been.
Derek Carr, you mean?
Yeah, I would have put him as a category with like Derek Carr. I don't know if Jimmy G seeps in there, but like that kind of game manager does the job. Gets you wins.
Are we talking like top 12, top 10 kind of QB, like in that realm?
Okay, that's a bit mean. I would say game manager and Derek Carr are not two things I would put together. Yeah,
I meant Derek Carr is in the person with the most fourth quarter comebacks this year. That quarterback I was talking about.
I've been a big fan of Derek Carr this season. I think he's been so good to watch. Like, I do. I think he doesn't get the... He did for a little bit during the season, but I don't think he gets the love he deserves.
No, absolutely not. How old is he, had a haircut. 30. Right, 29.
Yeah, 30. Bloody hell. You know, he's got a long, long time to go.
This feels like the most love he's had since he broke his leg for the playoffs. Like, he was very highly powered of that. Obviously, he was an MVP candidate that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just dropped, like, the next year, obviously, he still had some candor from that, but it just dropped off. And this is the first year people are like, ah, Derek Carr's on the map again.
So basically, yeah, just really quick, 2016, he had Michael Crabtree and Amari Cooper as his two receivers. This year, after time, he had Bryan Edwards and Zay Jones as his wide receiver.
Bryan Edwards is great.
No, he isn't. He really isn't. He's got hands like feet. He drops more balls than he catches.
He's just one of those players that whenever I see the Raiders about to lose, they have a third and long and they need the ball. Bryan Edwards somehow has it.
Yeah, when we get a new offensive coordinator, it's going to help Derek Carr because, yeah. Anyway, off track.
Okay, next game.
Speaking of offensive coordinators, have you seen that the current talk in the Ravens camp now is either we re-sign Lamar Jackson or let Greg Roman go? Like, can we please just let him go? Please, like, just, yeah, please, just let him go. Yeah.
Players quarterback. Offensive coordinator that's got an old system.
Yeah, he's honestly, I haven't spoke to another Ravens fan who wants to keep him. Like, everybody's wanted him out for at least a couple seasons. Please just let him, just get rid, just let him go. Stop holding on to him, bring someone else in.
Okay. Packers, Aaron Rodgers in the divisional round. First overall seed in snowy Lambeau. Lose to the San Francisco 49ers. I don't know if
Palmer's a bitch, isn't it?
This game, right. I put two bets on this weekend, right? I don't really like to normally talk about gambling, but I put two bets on this weekend, right? And it would have won me, I think it was about £1,000, I think it was, for two £10 bets, okay? So one bet was that every single team was going to score a passing touchdown. Aaron Rodgers was the only QB to let me down. The only team to not throw a passing touchdown was the Packers. That blew my mind, okay? The other one was every team to score a rushing touchdown. The only team to not score a rushing touchdown was the San Francisco 49ers. Again, a team that's more known for their rushing touchdowns. Like, it blew my mind.
The Titans get a rushing touchdown.
Henry got one.
He did. Everybody got one, except the 49ers, and everyone got a passing touchdown except the Packers. Devastated.
Not quite as devastated as Aaron Rodgers. He has now gone pretty QAnon already. The Packers team is falling apart somehow.
Have you seen some of the stills from that game? Like, just plays where there's two, three guys open, and he's solely focused on Adams, who's like double, triple covered, and you've got like two, three guys running routes. There's one I've seen where the guy's beat his defender going deep, the other one beat his defender going out wide. If he's going out towards the flat, if he wants to hit the sideline, like, he's got people he can throw to, but his eyes are in one place.
That was the last play, Lazard and Equanimous St. Brown, both wide open.
The last play, he didn't even have the last special teams play. They had 10 men on the field.
Yeah. And they have got a huge cap problem going into next season. Well, the cap is crap.
Yeah. And that's the thing, Roger said he doesn't want to do a rebuild, does he? Mm. And that's where it gets iffy for them. But this is the thing with, like, Roger's obviously outstanding quarterback, but him in the big games has always been an issue. Yeah. And yet again, it's happened.
I mean, it kind of almost seems like if it's going well for him, he's brilliant. But then he looks like he sulks. That's the only way to describe what he looks like on the sideline sometimes.
Do you think he gets in his own head? Because it always seems to be in the playoffs that this happens. He seems to play great all season and then he gets to the playoffs, normally the championship game or around there, and then he just lays an egg.
That game was special teams winning the game, though. Like, the
49ers, that's true.
Special teams. Yeah. And, like, it's just one of those games where you realise why Bill Belichick, like, is just stupidly harsh on his special teams. Because, like, it's those kind of plays that... I went to bed when it was 7-0 to Green Bay. I went to bed at halftime. I was like, 49ers offence is doing out. The defence looks great, but they're just not getting anything going. Wake up 13-10, and I remember waking up and going, what was the Packers score, Google? And it said the score. I was like, are you serious? I had to check. It was mind-blowing.
Yeah, it was a frustrating game to watch.
How's the missus?
She didn't take it very well.
and onto the final game of the divisional championship. What was arguably more exciting than what the Super Bowl might be was Mahomes versus Josh Allen, which we hope is the new kind of Peyton Manning-Brady rivalry that goes on, because What was their final minute 54 seconds, three lead changes, goes into overtime, and we'll get to overtime in a second, but like that was just one of the most mind-blowing games to watch. Yeah. Two yeah. perfect offenses banging out against each other.
It's almost like it was like watching a cheat code, like for both of them. Like they both get pressured and you're like, okay, they're probably gonna take a sack here. Just somehow get out of it, both of them running 100 mile an hour and then just launching Mahomes with the side arms, Allen just throwing it harder than I've ever seen anyone throw a ball, just straight into the hands of receivers. It's just nuts.
And the Chiefs only had 13 seconds left at the end of that game to score, to take it to overtime. Any other team would probably just run the ball and just say, right, we're never getting that far down 30 seconds.
Dak did. When Dak done the QB sneak, which he's been getting a lot of flack for. There was 14 seconds on the clock. Now he's got a big arm. And he's got how many weapons? Like, why can't he just sling it down the field?
Mm-hmm. So whilst the Cowboys are dumb, in fairness to them, Patrick Mahomes has 13 seconds and three timeouts. They had 14 seconds and no timeouts. Like,
no, that's there. No. I get that. That's but my point is people can march down the field in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, surely, if your QB is as good as you think he is and he can throw the ball, all you need is 2-3 passes, but near the sideline, surely you can make that happen.
A lot of people have said as well, it's like, oh, why don't you cover Kelce and Hill? The defense was knackered. You could see they were knackered. And also, some of the coverage was pretty good. One of those passes, it was just a pinpoint pass that went past two defenders were actually quite well placed and had pretty good coverage. Mm. It was just...
So before we get to the overtime discussion, I feel like in every game where there's an overtime argument, like the old Saints-Rams one back in 2016, whatever it was, you can point at something that did lose the game. And as you argue, the Bills' defense was knackered. But if you are trying to stop a team getting into field goal range, obviously you want to stop a touchdown, but they were playing like deep prevent defense, which was allowing Kelce just to gash them for a 20-yard pass run out. Like, I think you could argue the Bills' defense, whilst they were knackered, they did not scheme appropriately to stop Mahomes getting some chunk plays in.
Yeah, that's true. But then also, if you cover short, then you also risk Tyreek Hill and then winning the game. And then you don't even get overtime. So I can kind of see that. But you see, it was Kelce that orchestrated all of it. He told Tyreek Hill where to go and he said, right, you get it. Then it was like, right, then I'll get the second one. And it was just perfect.
Yeah, I was listening to another podcast. Apparently on the last play, I think it was the last play. He said, basically, Travis Kelce said, right, I'm going to see what they're doing and I'm going to run. Don't worry about what play you called. I'm going to run and I'll get open. And then Patrick Mahomes looked and he just shouted, go Travis, go, or yes, Travis, yes, or something. And then that's how Travis Kelce got through.
I was watching it late at night. Only person awake was Fergal because he lives in Kuwait now. But his stream was a minute behind mine.
Yeah.
No, Craig, you're awake, right?
Yeah, I was still awake, yeah.
So funny emotions because the Bills are winning. He was like, our defense is fucking shit. This is the end. And we couldn't reply because he had to wait for him to catch up. And we'd sit, like, I think there was one where it was like, the Bills had just scored and it was the one where Tyreek instantly runs it in for a touchdown. And Fergal is full on doomer mode. Like, the Chiefs are fucking shit. We need to fire this person. This person's done. Our defense is ass. And me and Craig were just watching him like, we know he hasn't just seen Hill run it in. And he'd just see like, Tyreek! And it just happened like 3 or 4 times. It was so funny.
Yeah, it was fun.
But of course, let's get to overtime. You had some interesting stats where the regular season overtime, it's like a 56% advantage to the whoever receives it first. But playoff football, it's like...
There's only one team has lost in the playoffs that hasn't won the coin toss.
That was the Saints, wasn't it? That was the Saints against the Rams in that game.
What's the solution? So basically, I think, I've not got an answer, but I definitely think both teams should get a chance to score a touchdown.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I was going to say, I think it should work a bit like a sudden death in a penalty shootout. Mm. So if you go first, okay, you go first, and then the second team should then have a chance to come back at you. Like,
so what happens though if, so shorten the time? Because what happens if both teams score? You then get another 10 minutes or whatever it is.
I think it should go like full pin and shootout style kickers, 25, 35, 45, 55, and then like 60, because that's a bit harsh. But yeah.
We haven't mentioned yet that all three previous games were won by field goals.
And yeah. Evan McPherson is the coolest man. When he was practicing, goes, looks like we're going to the championship game, goes on the field and he kicks it. So, what a monster.
Kickers,
what about rugby knockout competition rules? Do you know how they settle rugby games?
Isn't that the drop kicks?
No, it's just normal penalty kicks, but it's every player has to take one. Cardiff played, and like really famous Martin Williams, Welsh forward. He's not a kicker. He missed one. It was hilarious watching them because you've got all these forwards taking kicks after the backs who normally kick. That'd be good. Lineman taking a kick.
One solution I saw that was pretty simple. There's obviously the use college overtime rules, which is a big movement. But someone just went, give them a fifth quarter. Like, no, like, first person's got to, like, give them a fifth quarter, see who gets the ball. Because then it's a place of, can you game plan the other team enough that you're managing the time to win? And it kind of just makes more sense because there's no sudden death. It could be that neither team score, it's a tap. I can't tie in overtime, I guess.
That's the thing with that. That's what I was thinking. But then it could go on forever because, like, college games sometimes have triple overtimes.
Penn State famously went to 9 overtimes. And just do that. Do that.
Yeah, eventually one team's going to give in, and the one that gives in, fair enough, you didn't have it in you. You know what I mean? Like, the other team had that little bit more than you. I find that more of a fairer way to do it than just, oh, you won a coin toss.
Especially when it's two offences that have both just scored 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that are that potent.
It was so obvious. It was so obvious whoever won the toss was going to win that game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but I mean, I'm so happy I'm the only guy in the NFC here because you guys have to deal with Mahomes and Allen.
Yeah. Yeah, you were saying that. I did think that. You were like, oh, we get to see this. This will be the new Brady and Manning. Sitting there in the NFC East. Go on. You can take your bloody... I don't
You're losing Aaron Rodgers and Brady. Oh, no.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers goes to the Broncos, the AFC West is going to have Mahomes, Herbert, Carr and Rodgers.
Oh, my God, yeah. And Burrow. And Jackson.
Oh.
Right, I mean, yeah, so that's some of the news. I'll throw out a little mention because he's an Eagle. Our guard, Brandon Brooks, retired, 10-year pro, and he'll be missed. He was a big advocate for mental health early on. But let's move on to some staffing hires because there has been some movement. This one is very, very questionable for a team that doesn't seem to want to win. They've signed Ben McAdoo as their offensive coordinator. So the Carolina Panthers have signed infamous Giants head coach who benched Eli Manning. I mean, to be fair, though, he got a job because he was a good OC, so this could work out for them, but I think Matt Rhule's a garbage head coach.
I'd give Rhule another year, only because I think he made a good indent first year and then second year just went tits up. But yeah, it's an interesting hire, this, especially after he got rid of the last OC in quite dramatic circumstances.
I think you know a head coach is shit anytime they decide that they're going to do a rolling starting quarterback. Just pick one.
Can't do that.
But you can't go game to game with a different quarterback. There's no flow to your offense. You can't. It's just ridiculous. That was the writing's on the wall for him.
That shows me his inability to actually make a decision.
Yeah.
Like,
if you're a player for that coach and the coach says, like, who's the starting quarterback coach? Oh, I've not decided yet. You're like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
I mean, I can't remember the owner's name, David Tepper or something.
Yeah.
Like, from what I've seen from Panthers fans, like, they're not a fan of him. He doesn't have that kind of... The attitude you see, like, the Patriots owner's called, can't remember. He wants Croft. To win every single year. He wants to win every single year. There's some teams like the Panthers, like the Jets, like you don't see the owners wanting to win. They're just kind of there for the money. But that's just an opinion. Bears have picked the general manager, Ryan Poles, who's the Chiefs VP or something like that. So known for good offensive line drafting, which is what the Bears need. And it was a joke that the owners are so cheap, they don't want to replace any of Ryan Pace's stuff. They've just had another Ryan P.
So Ryan Poles, I saw this earlier. He got he was on the Bears roster back in 2008 and he got cut from the team. He got cut. I think he went out of football completely and then did like loads of scouting, coaching, and has worked his way up to now Bears GM, which I think is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and Chiefs get two compensatory third round picks for that, which is seems a bit unfair for the Chiefs.
Mm.
Why don't they get two third? I guess you are losing talent. And they've always had a good O-line, so that could be worrying. Let's see here. Vikings signed Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who's the VP of player development at the Browns. So they've had a couple of good drafts, so you can see why that's happening. I think I saw someone, he's the first Ghanaian man to have a job. But yeah, Vikings needed a rejuvenation of talent, so hopefully that works out for him. Joe Schoen, who I think was the Bills vice boss, Bill something. He's gone to be the Giants general manager, replacing Dave Gettleman. So nowhere to go but up, really.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of talk about Brian Daboll as well. Obviously, straight off the bat, having the Bills link, which I think would be quite interesting.
Giants need something. It was a pretty bad season for them.
Let them be bad. something what you mentioned there, Tim, about him being a player up to a GM. Byron Leftwich is pretty much
all
guaranteed to be the next Jags head coach, and of course he was drafted 8th overall by them. So nice bit of connection.
Pretty cool.
Injury news: only one injury that's really affecting game play. Teams right in at the moment is Tyrann Mathieu's out with, I don't know if it's a concussion or a head injury.
It was a concussion, I believe.
Yeah, you got, they showed you the replay, you got hit in the back of the head.
Yeah. So he potentially could be out, which would be bad for the Chiefs if he's out, because they're short on safety.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's any other NFL news.
Injury-wise, I'm just looking now. What's, like, I know Deebo Samuel and...
Oh, yes. They're not expecting Trent Williams to play with an elbow sprain.
Really?
There's a few of them did look banged up, though, and after that game, like you were saying, Samuel was one. There's a couple others.
Go into it.
Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah. But Bosa is coming off a neck injury, I think it was. So, I mean, saying that, everyone's ruled the 49ers out two times on the trot, and they still kept beating them through. Okay, let's do some predictions, boys. So, should we talk about our last week's results first?
Yes, please.
No, Joe, you don't want to do that?
Nope.
Tim smashed it. Right, go on.
I really did. I think for the best, even though there's only four games, it's the best week I've had. So I nailed the Bengals and I got the Rams-Bucks game spot on. And I also got my bold prediction as well. I got the Chiefs game. I got the Chiefs win. The only one I got wrong was the Packers. In fact, all of us got the Packers wrong. So everyone else had, apart from Joe, had an okay week. Joe did terribly. So that leaves the overall scores. Adam, 197. Joe, 204. Craig, 206. And I am ahead by 1 point, 207.
I just realised I should have 1 point, so I'm on 203. For some reason, there was two in there, but I only got one, sadly.
I dropped too far back. I can't make that anymore. I'm going to have to retire from the race, boys.
Or just go wild with your predictions.
Yeah, I'll just be doing some crazy ones. Go for it.
It's gone from a two-horse race to, like, Tim, Frog, and me and Joe.
Yeah, Tim, I didn't even... I saw you. I was like, ah, Tim's got two, right? That's fine. And then I just... looked like 2 days later and you're in the lead. I did not think that was going to happen.
I remember what I was watching. I think it was the Chiefs game I was watching. No, it wasn't the Chiefs game. It was the Rams game. I was like, there's no way that the Rams can win this. It's mathematically impossible for them to win this by three. So I'm not going to get any points for that one. And then I was like, oh shit, they've won by three. Yeah.
I remember watching the the Bucks go down, and obviously the Rams were winning by 7, which is what I had.
Yeah,
I just had fingers crossed that they weren't going to score a touchdown, or there was a turnover or something. And I did want the Rams to win that game, but by 3, come on.
Yeah, let's go for it, boys. First game, Joe Burrow and the Bengals head in to Arrowhead to face Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, let's just talk about this game for a bit, first of all, because what a game this shall be. I think everyone that's not a Chiefs fan is currently a Bengals fan, just because the underdog story. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase is so exciting, but that offensive line is really going to struggle against the Chiefs.
They will, but will they struggle more than they did against the Titans?
I think Burrow doesn't have pressure at this point. He just has to get over it.
Yeah. And there's no Matthew. So without Matthew, is the stopping the likes of Higgins and Chase and stuff like that going to be a lot more difficult for them, because it's been quite a well-known weakness that the Chiefs, the Chiefs secondary is a bit naff, isn't it? Like, they've been getting exposed a lot this season. Are the Bengals potentially a team that could sort of be their bogey team, that they sort of just hit that right sweet spot on the weakness of their defense where they can sort of keep up? And
good though, like,
yeah,
I don't think it's top rated anywhere, but like, you see so many plays getting made by the Bengals.
Yeah, the defense played really well in that game last week.
Really well. And you've got to remember as well, what was it, week 16, when the Bengals beat the Chiefs? So that's in recent memory, but I think this Chiefs team is so... I think Mahomes is just...
It's a game now. Both teams have got film on each other as well, so this is the true test for Zach Taylor going up against Andy Reid at home. Like, that's a shitter. Nevertheless, let's go, Joe. Bengals by 3.
Is it head or heart? What do we go for? I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's bias when the Chiefs and the Bengals, just thinking over the last 3 or 4 years. In my head, I think the Chiefs could win by 20 if possible. Like, I think it could be like that. I'm going to change last minute. Because I've got to go with the heart. Plus, if I'm going to catch these two boys, I've got to do something different. So I'm going Bengals by 4.
Okay, I'm going Chiefs by 3. I think it'll be quite close. But, well, I'm hoping it'll be quite close, because I wouldn't mind a decent game. But I could see this being a bit of a shootout like the last one. But I think the Chiefs has just got more experience in this kind of game. And in that, you were talking a little bit earlier about the likes of Kelce and Tyreek and stuff. I think them sort of key players have just got that little bit of extra experience that they're going to need to get them through.
See, now, I want the Bengals to win, but I also want to win the predictor. So I don't think it will be close. I've got the Chiefs by 10.
Okay. 49ers at Rams. Again, NFC East rivalry in a championship. Rams have not been able... I think they've lost the Niners 6 times on the trot so far. Like, Kyle Shanahan just has the Rams number. But Rams come off a big win, toppling Tom fucking Brady. 49ers, they've just beaten Aaron Rodgers, though. I'm kind of not excited for this game, because I don't want either team to be in the Super Bowl. But at the same time, it is going to be a good game.
I am, because I called this game back in like September. I'll take that.
Oh, dear. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one. As you say, the Niners have had their number. And, of course, they had that comeback win the last week of the regular season, which is, of course, very interesting. But I don't know. It's just one of these that's a tough call. You're right. 2 big wins for both teams. It's in SoFi. There are going to be no 49ers fans, apparently. They've been completely banned. And, you know, they're shoving San Francisco natives out of LA for the day by the sounds of things. So it could be a weird one. I've got no clue what's going to happen. So it's anyone's.
Yeah, I'm going Rams by 5.
I'm also going Rams by 5. I think that you know that pass rush that they've got on the Rams is just like it is just like a human cheat code or pass rush, I guess. Like they're just, you look at the name and they're all like potentially Hall of Fame. Well, you got a few, you got Aaron Donald, Von Miller. Like you're looking at guys who are just insane. You got Ramsey, even though he got burnt in that last game, which I quite enjoyed watching because I think he's a bit of a tit. He is good at what he does. Yeah, I don't know. I think even though the Niners have got lucky up until this point, the one benefit I think the Niners have got is they're playing a team that they are quite familiar with. But I don't know. I just think that Rams team just has too much talent on it. And if I had to pick between Garoppolo and Stafford, I would bet my money on Stafford any day.
Rams have had some stinker games, though, where they've just been beaten.
They beat themselves. Like, it was the same in that last game with some of the snap and stuff like that went right over Stafford's head. Like, they just make stupid mistakes sometimes.
Were you talking about the Rams D-line? Just, Tim, how happy were you with Brady's taunting penalty?
Heady time and all. But the only thing I will say about that is he did get hit in the face.
Yeah, he's bleeding.
It's like his lip was bleeding.
I just think the Niners know how to beat the Rams. They know how to make the Rams play bad. Rams could win this, but I'm going to be contrary and take the Niners by 3.
I think the Niners are going to do it. I had this, as I say, they have literally played the last game regular season. I'm just going purely on the fact the Niners have the Rams number.
If the Niners and the Chiefs do both go through, then it would also be the Super Bowl, I predicted. Yeah. So it's a win-win for me, whether the Rams or the Niners win. Like, there's a little bit of something in there anyway.
Very true. But the only thing is, what is quite annoying is we had the Super Bowl 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you kind of want to avoid that.
So, yeah, the Super Bowl I want is the 49ers-Bengals for exactly what Joe just said. Same. I don't like watching the same team in the Super Bowl every single year. I'd rather it was someone. And the Bengals have never won the Super Bowl. So
and they lost to nice. Joe Montana and the 49ers.
33 years ago, yeah.
Before we get on Super Bowl predictions, just as someone who's pretty much out the race and at this point impartial, really, Craig and Tim, I think you're not going bold enough there.
All right, I'll have the number.
They're all wide receiver ones going for at least 100 yards. Like, I don't know. Joe, what do you feel?
Because
I think yours is pretty cool.
What's a number then? What's a good number you'd like?
It's 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah,
I'd be happy with Craig's.
That's what I was looking at. The 2 touchdowns is a...
I think
Kittle
getting 200 plus
yards. Kittle combined for 200 plus yards receiving and... more than 2 touchdowns.
I'm fine with that, yeah. I feel
not each, altogether.
Yeah.
Yours wasn't 2 right, points to start with.
Yes,
but you pretty much got... I mean, yeah. You could just hedge your bets and take one of them and do exactly what Craig's doing. You've basically got Craig 100 yards.
Now I've got 2 people then getting... No, that's fine.
You also have one guy go for 200.
I think I got away with one on the bowl prediction last week. So I think,
But I'm interested to see how they deal with Cooper Kupp because no one seems to have done so. And I've got a weird feeling OBJ is going to turn up. Like
OBJ is better now that he's not the focus.
Yeah.
But it's a great toe tap catch.
Do you find it a bit annoying, though, in a way, how he's thrown a hissy fit at Cleveland, and his talent obviously is the reason he's there, and now he's in a championship game. I don't know, part of me is just a bit, it's a bit annoying.
Yeah, everyone expects it. The Rams are collecting star players like Pokemon cards.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So bold predictions. I'll go first. I predict Evan McPherson and Robbie Gould another week game winning field goals.
Them specifically?
Yeah, but yeah, they're both the kickers. Yeah, but specifically, I've got them both to win. So, Evan McPherson and Robbie Gould, game-winning field goals.
Fair enough.
Well, I guess we just mentioned mine. I've got Tyreek Hill to get 100 yards and 2 touchdowns.
I've got Joe Burrow over 450 yards of passing.
And I've got Cooper Kupp and George Kittle combined for 200 plus yards receiving and 2 touchdowns, more than 2 touchdowns in total.
Yeah, literally bang on the money.
Hey. The guys, the game. I'm great. I want y'all to know I left work for this.
Thank you.
But it's fine.
All right. We ain't gonna take too much of your time up anyway. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to see you again.
As it's always great to see you guys. Can we start with a go Rams?
That's what was going to be my question.
I'm slaying him.
I'm just saying. Can we start with a go Rams?
Go Rams.
Last time me and Adam saw Justin, he was dragging around some drunk white boy with him. Not going with you today, have you?
Hey, we had such a good time, man. I love the UK. You guys rock.
What did you get up to on your travels after leaving?
The good thing is I don't remember. That's a good thing. I don't remember instantly, but I think like the first day we kind of did like, you know, the basic stuff. We went to the eye. I want to say we just got into something random. I actually don't remember. I think we just went to, I think we walked around Soho a little bit. Like Soho kind of tried to bounce into some clubs at the time. Like you had to register to go into clubs or something like that. And of course we weren't about to do that. So we kind of just like showed up hoping we could wing it, and then winging it kind of didn't work out all the way, but it was cool. We still had a good time.
Good. And so for those who don't know, Justin is an all-star from the ELF. Plays for the Hamburg Sea Devils. Watched some of his highlights, crazy good. But yeah, we've got some ELF stuff to talk about because obviously season's starting to ramp up. So first of all, let's talk about the four extra teams that are joining. So Tim, have you got the list here of the new teams coming in?
Yep, I have. I've got it in front of me here. I've memorized it as well, he says, scrolling. The new teams are the Tyrol Raiders. They are currently called the Swarco Raiders, but I don't know if they're going to be called that. The Vienna Vikings, the Rhine Fire, and the Istanbul Rams.
So, first of all, Justin, have you heard much about these teams, kind of what their personnel is coming in, how they're perceived?
Yeah, you know, last year was my first year in Germany and in Europe, so I kind of didn't really know like the European football scene, but definitely got like some heads up that like Austrians play football. Like that was like they were like big on that. And Jadrian had actually came from Vienna. I think he had played in Vienna the year before or like something like that. So he was he had kind of already told me about it. And then when they ended up resurfacing as a team that would be in the ELF, like I kind of knew both of those teams already, Vienna and Innsbruck. I don't know if they're gonna be called Innsbruck, but yeah, Innsbruck. I heard of those teams. The Rainfire, I had heard of. I just heard of the old, like I think they were associated with NFL Europe, right?
They were old NFL Europe, yeah.
So I'd heard more about it, especially as we got to the championship game and like being around there, and like they did have a football coach. Like it was a lot of, I want to say it was a lot of Rainfire jerseys at the game, if I remember correctly. Like I saw a few, and then like a lot of people were talking about it. So I heard about that team, and then Istanbul was like super random, but like, I actually had no idea. But yeah, Istanbul was probably like the only team that I hadn't heard of. But from what I know and from what I've seen, like everybody seems to be getting like some good competition. Like I'm expecting the ELF to kind of make a, it seems like from what I've been told that the ELF was a big jump in football from the GFL to the ELF as far as like the competition overall. And it seems like we're headed in a direction to take another big jump as far as like how good the level of comp is going to be. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, the Swarkov Raiders were like routinely winning the GFL. Were they in the GFL or winning whatever league they were in? And yeah, like you've seen all the signings, like obviously Instagram and Twitter of ELF, like there's some big names coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm excited. Like I think after a successful year of the ELF and seeing how good the competition was, I think the better GFL players will like join into the ELF. So it'll even make it further. It'll grow even further. So
I think what you said about the Austrian teams is right, because they seem to be keeping all the players as a team that they've had before. So they've not created new teams with completely new players that have never played before. They've got a lot of players that know each other. So they've got that advantage, I guess.
And as we can see, that definitely matters. I mean, you see Poland, like Poland is a big problem because mm-hmm. of that. Like, those dudes have been winning. It's not new. You know what I mean? When you kind of have an organization and like, you know, when you kind of have things set and there's a structure, then it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
So, yeah, no, we mentioned it a bit last year that because it was the first year, there was maybe a lot of players who maybe wanted to join but didn't know if it was even going to last the year.
Exactly.
But it's like the finals game was just so, it was one of the best games I've seen. Like, it was fantastic. Yeah. And that's really kind of put the emphasis on, oh, it's a successful league. Look at how every game went. And four more teams joining it, it really just kind of goes, oh, there's definitely going to be a future here.
Yeah. I think the only problem, like, let's just say as a spectator, was that like Frankfurt and the Sea Devils won so many games. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody else kind of won and lost their share, but like us two were like a really big gap. So like, that's not really fun to watch as a spectator when like you kind of know which teams are going to end up playing, but it just kind of shows where, you know, I think we filled that in like perfectly. Like, I think there are some more contenders, and then I just think all the teams got better, and then like maybe
yeah, definitely. Got
better. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it'll end up being a lot closer, and it won't just be like two big front runners right there. I don't think the front runner margin will be so big in comparison to the rest
of the league. Yeah. I think towards the end of the season,
spectrum.
Yeah, towards the end of the season, the Panthers got better and the Kings got better as well. Like, they had a cracking end of the season. They were Birdsong was on a roll at the end of that season.
Yeah. So, and then like, you know, teams didn't have enough time to like kind of had to throw some of these teams together. Like, they wanted to be in it, but you know, for sure, and they kind of so like. And then having a full offseason is important too. So I think this is the first year everybody gets a full offseason. So the end product will be better for all of the teams. So.
And as well, I was going to say, like, the Sea Devils, you guys, you're looking pretty lively with signing players. And you've had, like, you know, you've had a Gene Constant who was huge last year for the Dragons. I mean, that is one hell of a snatch that you got there from the Dragons.
Signed a new safety as well, haven't you? Kevin Forte was his name. I think I see EP were talking about it. I think he's one of the EP players. Yeah, picked up new safety as well from Potsdam. He's from the GFL as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely excited. You know, I mean, I think for me, it to be selfish here, like, practices will be a little more fun having a corner and a receiver. Like, last year, we didn't have an A receiver, so it was a little, I don't want to say boring, but you know what I mean? It's
iron sharpens iron.
Yeah, oh, exactly. It makes it a little less when, like, I kind of have more experience than the entire receiver group. Yeah. So when I kind of try to make it competitive for all of us so we all get better, it's kind of like a different thing. And now it almost – it can seem like bullying in a way. It's just like, it doesn't fit as well as having another receiver be better, because then I know if I go at Gene and if I – you know, me and Gene are going at it, that'll spark the entire rest of the group to win their reps. And then it kind of just – like you said, iron sharpens iron, and it's important to have like two from each group that can go directly at each other. So
you're saying you're too good, basically.
Say that. But, yeah.
So we've got some questions from some of our listeners. Some are for you, and some are more general conversation. But specifically for you, how have you experienced the fans and the mood in 2021 ELF? And what do you think about the quality of the teams? What about the practice conditions?
Ooh, so is this more about last year or more about moving forward, like kind of the future?
I guess it's worded about
a little bit about both.
More about last year, isn't it? But also going forward.
I mean, the fans were awesome. Like, I tell people here all the time, I'm back here at UTEP. I'm at school. I'm finishing up my last courses for my degree, by the way. Yeah, so I'm here in Texas, and of course people ask me about it. You know what I mean? I just tell them, like, football is a lot bigger than you may have thought. Like, than you thought in general, but bigger in other countries than I could have even imagined. Like, I mean, throughout the entire season, the fans impressed me everywhere we went, especially Leipzig. Like, Leipzig was crazy. Like, Jalo had an entire chant, which was crazy. Like, that was fire. And then, but pointing back at the championship game, man, like, that's up there as far as one of the most intense environments I've played in. And I've played in 95 stadiums that hold 95,000. So it's like, the intensity level was like, it was in the air. I felt it. Like, it felt like a real football game for me. So I think that says a lot about the culture and the fans. And Yeah, I mean, as far as practice goes, I hear they're all different. Like I hear they're all different in different places so far. Like being in an all-star game, that was a really fun experience. I'm really happy I got to enjoy that just because I got to meet guys that were on other franchises and came from different places and are playing. So their outlook on the ELF and their team is different than mine is because I play for the Sea Devils and they play for the Kings or the Centurions or, you know, Frankfurt. So I think it was kind of like it. There are definitely some things that could be better and like some things that could be hashed out. Like I'm just so used to like college practice. So like I did it so much that like I'm used to practice being a certain way and you hit certain things. And like, for example, I'll just use an example here. And we probably should have worked two-minute situation. Like at the Sea Devils ourselves, we probably should have did that in more situational football. And then like when in turn we get in the game and it's like just a few things happen because you don't practice 2 minute as much. Like granted the time is different, but it's just kind of, it's different from college, but you kind of have to hit the same thing. So maybe we don't get that because we hit 2 minute in every day in college at some point. Like it was like our last segment and it was ones-on-ones, but like the situation is a little different here in the ELF. So maybe we hit it once a week. That way when we get in a game and it's a 2 minute situation, we don't have guys putting the ball on the ground. Hey, the ref has to swap the ball, Dak Prescott. You know what I'm saying? But like stuff like that. I had to throw a Cowboys.
How did you find the Rams game on the weekend?
Almost lost my mind, first off. recently got into sports betting. Don't like good, not good. It makes the game more interesting, which is great. But we won the game and I'm furious. Like we won the game and I'm like, you can't cover 35 and a half. You have 29 yards. I'm livid at Matt Stafford for not throwing a drag route. And he throws the ball out of bounds. I was like, hey, that was my 6 yards. I could have won $400. But I mean, the game went exactly how I thought it should as a Ram. For us to win, it had to go like that as far as us getting after Tom Brady. If you don't get pressure on Tom Brady, you lose. But I think the other part of it was just that he didn't have AB, man. Like, he didn't have AB or Chris Godwin, and I knew that would be an issue. And they're missing their all-pro left tackle, I think, and then their right tackle was hurt. So it's like that was kind of like a big issue. So I kind of knew that would happen. But what was going to make me the most upset if we lost the game, not just the fact that we lost the game and blew a lead, but Tom Brady was going to walk out with Tom Brady did it again. Like, hey, did he? Or did they have four scripts on defense? Like, let's – That drives me insane, the narrative that Tom Brady will get versus a guy like Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is like, hey, the punt got blocked and I lost the game. But, like, I need to play better. Like, get serious. I've seen Tom Brady throw 3 interceptions in an NFC divisional. Like, I'm an Aaron Rodgers guy, clearly, but that was going to make me more mad, the narrative that was going to get pushed. Because I'm watching the game, and if he would have won, I would have had to deal with, for the rest of my life, Tom Brady when he beat the Rams and he came back and, like –
Yeah, to be fair, yeah, on the like we've got like a WhatsApp group between us. When he scored that last touchdown, my response was just, "Oh fuck, not again!" Like, because I said the same thing. I don't want to listen for the next 6 months about this Brady comeback and all of this. Like, I'm tired of it. I don't want to hear about it no more. So I'm thankful. Like,
the way I guys feel. There's again. Another bloody documentary about the Tuck Rule coming out next week.
Is it really?
Yeah, ESPN are doing a 30 for 30 on the Tuck Rule.
Yeah, I'll definitely be in tune to that. That's funny.
What do you want to know? I've lived every second of it.
Well, there was talk last year after The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary came out, that they were going to do one on Brady about his time in New England. They were looking on filming and like piecing something together, something similar, and bringing out a season of that. So I've not heard anything since. I hope they do. I'll dig into it and I'll let you know if I find anything.
No, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Tom, man. Like, Tom absolutely is what a quarterback should be, right? Like, you know what I mean? When you think of, like, leaders that'll win you a game, you think of Tom for sure. Don't get me wrong. But, like, the narrative that gets pushed drives me nuts. Like, I cannot do it. Like, hey, this man didn't win that game. Like, you realize there was, like, again, the Bucs situation. Like, people are like, well, the Bucs were 8-18. Yeah, they were 8-18 because Jameis Winston threw 30 interceptions. They would have been in the exact same position. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, all you added was Rob Gronkowski and Antonio Brown and a quarterback. They were literally missing a quarterback. They were a quarterback away. They had the top 3 rushing defense in the NFL for 3 consecutive years. Like, But here again, Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? He went to the Bucks and did it. Like, man, the Bucks was probably the best team he could have went to.
Yeah.
Love that. Definitely.
Was it this game where the center snapped it over Stafford's head? Or was that like, I honestly, watched that play. I was so annoyed because I was like, that one play may have done the Brady storyline. Like a 50-yard loss or something. I was like,
Here it is. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say this. I would have been right on the conspiracy theory. Like, I'm not a big conspiracy theory guy, but if Tom Brady would have won that game, I would have went wide, like far right. Like, the world has been doing, like, I would have been into every conspiracy theory and just went, like, the earth is flat. I would have went all the way that way.
All of them, apart from the theory that he's the GOAT.
How'd you feel about facing a division rival? Going up against the Niners.
I'll tell you what, we weren't going to beat the Packers. Let me tell you that. I don't think we were going to beat the Packers, and the Packers kind of would have been I don't think we would have beat them. It would have been really tough to beat them. And I'd rather play the Niners. So, one, that was one thing. Two, I think it costed them too much to beat the Niners. Like, they're just spent. Like, they won that game on a block punt. You know what I mean? And, like, they kind of just – It's super impressive. I knew this about the 49ers, and going into this game, I kind of had them winning just because they were like the NFL. Once you get into the playoffs, it no longer matters about who threw for what and like who did what. Like it's not really about that. It's kind of just about the team itself. Yeah. And the 49ers control the front, and like that's not one of the teams that I consider box heavy or like, you know what I mean? Like they're not a team that's just going to go out there and dominate you in the front seven. So, like, if you're not that team, San Francisco will beat you. Aaron Rodgers kind of could have – a guy like Aaron Rodgers can compromise for it, but, like – or Aaron Rodgers and Devontae kind of like their air raid, but, like, it's just really tough when that front seven is controlled like that the way they do it. Like, they get to the quarterback, and then on they protect the quarterback. Jimmy G's terrible. And then Jimmy G will get in every game. But Jimmy G will get in every game and try to tell it. And you know what? Real quick, I also want to talk about going into the game. So there's Tom Brady, right? Let's just say Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? And then we can go like Joe Montana's, and then I'll like Aaron. I'll put Aaron somewhere in there, and then, you know, whatever. So it's these guys like right here, and then it's Jimmy Garoppolo against the Rams. Drives me insane. That dude plays so good outside of like so good against the Rams, against no one else. He'll guaranteed sell the game at some point against anyone else. Like how many passes did he throw that game? Against the Packers? How many passes did he throw?
He throws some of the throws he makes are just wild. He's like, why have you thrown that one?
And then I think he won the game on like 125 yards in the air. Like, what do we, how? Like, what is going on? Against the Rams, though, he threw for 250. Three touchdowns and no interceptions. But, yeah. Like I said, I think it cost him too much, though. Like, Debo seems to be really banged up. Fred Warner got banged up, like, maybe against us or something like that, or when they beat Dallas. So it's like, I think people are kind of starting to get roughed up, and it cost them too much. So I think that's what I'm kind of banking on. Plus, they shouldn't have beat us last game. They shouldn't have beat us last game. You know, should have, could have, would have, but they shouldn't have won that game. And plus, I think Matt at the time was going through like a phase where he just was throwing interceptions, like triple coverage, and it seems like, Yeah. It's the only thing he has to not do is not turn the ball over, and we can practically win every game. But when he's playing the way he played for the past 2 weeks, he hasn't thrown an interception in the playoffs, I don't think.
Oh, so, time to Cooper Kupp.
Hey, he has – you know, like, Matt plays really – he does. He has some really bad plays, like really bad interceptions where it's like, this is triple coverage. I have no idea what you saw right here. Like, what could you possibly have done? And then when he's not doing that, he's like a really good quarterback. Hey, so did Cooper Kupp 2 weeks ago, did he break the receiving yards record or the reception record?
Is this in the regular season or playoffs?
He's making playoff records.
Yeah, okay, it was the last week of the season then. It was a regular season.
He got the triple crown, I know that.
Yeah.
Right, I know he got the triple crown, but he also broke a record, right? Or he was about to. He was approaching one. I think he was approaching.
I think it was the receptions, not the yards record.
Receptions? Okay.
I think.
Either way, phenomenal season, right? The most recent person to do, whether it was receiving yards or receptions, was Megatron. And guess who was his quarterback? So I'm just saying, something is
Yeah. Nah, fair enough.
You know what I mean? So I'm rooting for Matt, man. Matt's my guy now.
Tell you what, though, watching some of the I don't watch the Niners a lot normally, but I watch both their playoff games. Bosa is a fucking animal. He like, holy shit.
They are good football players, man. Like, and then they have the best left tackle in football. Like, honestly, he should not be able to come in motion like that. Like, we got to get some rules on that. He is really gonna hurt somebody. Like, that's not okay. But yeah, man. I hate him so much, but like, I love him. They're, as far as football teams, they're really what I like seeing out of football teams. Like, they're gonna control the front. They're gonna tackle the football. All of their running backs fall forward. I don't know what that's about. I haven't seen Elijah Mitchell or Deebo Samuel fall backwards once. I don't know what that's about. And I watch them closely. Like, man, I don't ever see that. And then they're just solid, man. Like, they're just a solid team. And then the defensive front, man, they're a good team. Nick Bosa, of course.
Who have you got for the Super Bowl?
I got us, right? I got us beating them. I think they're spent, which is good. They had a good run. I think we'll send them home. And I actually got Joe Shiesty, man. Yeah. I got Joe Burrow. And again, football is about matchups. So I'm not going to just go with Joe because of the entire recency bias, because he's looked so good as of late, which is good. But I just think Kansas City's, they struggle with defensive backs. And it's like, if you struggle with in the secondary against a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, you're going to have a big problem. Like, you're going to have a really big issue. You can't tackle him. Like, oh, screen. You saw what happened last week. He probably had also a bet on this game. I had him for like 77 and a half receiving yards. He caught a screen and took it for 55. And I was like, well, that's going to cover. Like, that's. And I'm at the same time, no recency bias, but Joe Burrow, I'm very impressed at how he played against the Titans. Like, it's actually unreal how good both of those guys are, considering they just got into the NFL. And that's like, it's actually unheard of. Like, I don't think people just go from right to college right into being all pros in the NFL. And it's like, that dude threw for practically like 348 against Tennessee, and he didn't have anything. Like, there was nothing open downfield. He didn't complete any like deep passes. He threw for 350. He's like, I'll take the back here. Or I took the back and threw an interception. The next drive, I'm going to still take the back because nothing else was open. And he threw for 350.
As we said earlier, he got sacked 9 times.
And he got sacked 9 times. And that, like, for a young quarterback, like, for any quarterback, winning the game, being sacked 9 times is impressive. But, like, he didn't have anything, and he was getting a bunch of pressure, and just the fact that he could deal with it and was just like, oh, no, you know, I don't see it. I'll just take the back. And the fact that he could keep doing that was, like, getting out of Tennessee with 350 is super impressive to me. So, like, I definitely got them beating Kansas City. But at the same time, I'm not going to sit here and just count Pat Mahomes out. Like, we see how good that dude is. 13 seconds? Unreal.
Yep.
So,
and then we get Ramsey versus Chase.
And then guess who that leaves with a winner? Let's go Ramsey, baby. That's exactly what I want. Because, yeah, we can put Jalen on him. And Jalen gave up his first touchdown of the season, right? Finally. But
that was a bad one as well. He got played.
Yeah, he did. I think he scooted inside, or like Mike Evans was so far inside that, like, it can seem very playground like. When you have that much space, like, there was so much space to cover because he was like in, like, a, maybe 3 yards inside the numbers. So he kind of just ran around Jalen. Like, he didn't even have to. Playing defensive back is hard, man. The ball's not coming to you. Like,
I don't doubt that. It's one of the hardest positions to play.
Yeah, but that's all good. Jalen Ramsey, he can. I feel like he can afford that. That's fine. Who can afford it is Cam Akers. We're gonna turn the ball over twice.
So I forgot to mention that first question we did, that was from the ELF fans on Twitter, I think. I mean, do we want to talk about the NFL anymore? I don't want to just instantly cut.
Yeah, sorry, I kind of just went off on a tangent there. I apologize.
Cool. I don't know if this is a real question, but we can definitely elaborate off it. Will there be a league outfitter, and who will it be? Asks ELF Painting. I don't know about that, but what we can say is that, like, all the jerseys have been so good in the league so far.
Oh, an ELF outfitter?
So does that mean like someone like at the NFL store or like Fanatics or something?
Yeah, I'd imagine. Maybe... someone like that.
Okay. Ah. Okay.
Be like an Adidas or a Nike or, or someone like that, I guess.
That would be fire. But like I heard, so the jerseys did come out nice. I saw a few of them and they look good. Like I don't even have any, which sucks. So I hope there's a store, because if there's a store, then I can get some, right? But like, they all look good, man. I was super impressed. I was kind of just happy to have a jersey. You know what I mean? Like that was super cool. And like, again, the fans really impressed me, man. Like seeing people like put my jersey on and put a C-Double jersey on, I was like, wow, my name's on the back. That's fire.
I was gonna, not just because, yeah, I was gonna buy a jersey, but they sold out really quickly. They should have made more.
I was same. I wanted to pick one up myself, and they just like sold out so quick. They wasn't really, I guess they just didn't have to, they didn't know how they were going to sell to begin with, so they didn't have to the inventory there, I guess.
Exactly. That is exactly impressive. Like, part of me is like, I don't have a jersey. Like, why don't I have my own jersey? You know what I mean? Like, I should have, of course I have a jersey, but like, I wanted to, you know, I wanted a few for myself. I don't even think my mom has one. Like, my aunt has one and my dad has one, but like it's a lot of family members that kind of got on it as fast as they could and they didn't even get one. So it's like, oh, man. But on the other hand, it's cool because to me, they're selling out means people are buying them. Like maybe they intended, like, you know, maybe I only have 100. And then that means there's a lot of other people that are really C-Double fans and wearing Justin Rogers jerseys and, you know, other players. So that was cool. Like I said, the fan base was so impressive. I'm really excited.
I think the fan base is going to grow even more this year.
Yeah.
Like, I think even now you see the forums are more active with people.
Mm-hmm.
That was a nerdy thing to say.
I think also as well, we can travel. So we'll be coming over for games next year. Well, we couldn't last year. So
Ah, that's true. That'll be cool. That'll be cool to see y'all after the game all the time. That's fire.
Yeah. I was going to say, we want to do a regular season game, don't we? I think that's the plan at the moment. But we just need to work out logistics of it all.
Yeah, who do we have in a regular season that would be good? I mean, there'll be a lot of teams that'll be good, but like a really good matchup. You know what I mean? As we get closer, I'm sure like it'll start to pan out and start to look.
I'm looking forward to you guys playing the Sparkov Raiders because those guys are meant to be pretty fucking good.
You know what? I hate to say it. Tim's going to like this, but like the Raiders in my mind, black and silver has always been tough to me. Like when I think of black and silver jerseys, I think like tough, hard nose, like, you know, like real violent football players. And like, I don't know, from what I hear, it matches. So it's like, that's going to be interesting for me to see.
That's somebody once said to me, do you own any clothes that aren't either black or silver or white? I was like, no, not really.
See, maybe I should have been a Raiders fan. You see, I'm colorblind. Yeah. So I tend to avoid buying colors because I'm not like mismatching and I end up going out looking like a clown. So maybe I should have just stuck to being a Raiders fan and then I'd have been fine. Everton's black and silver, so I can't really go wrong.
Then you're spent your life staring into the abyss waiting for a win.
No, I'm a Raiders fan, Raiders, Ravens fan. Adam's the Philly fan.
That's right.
Go Jalen Hurts. You say go Jalen Hurts?
Absolutely. You don't like Jalen?
He is the fucking man.
Thank you.
I don't think I've met a cooler guy on Met. I fucking wish. I don't think I've ever seen a guy who's just that cool. Like, he's just so fucking low-key.
Yeah, not to go back to the NFL, but, like, I'm also – I like that guy, man. He's such a guy to like. Like, hey, this is a guy who got his spot taken. This is a guy who they didn't want to play in Philly, who, like, you know, wasn't going to win his rookie job. You know what I mean? Like, he's just – I don't know. He's a good person. He's not a quitter. Like, I really see that.
The issue is he does have issues. Like, his pass game's not the greatest, but like, I just want him to be the guy so bad.
Yeah.
But I think Smith could help him. Like, some of the catches I've seen Smith make, particularly towards the end of the season, were superb. Like, he's so good.
Yeah, but I just hope like Jalen Hurts could be like an Embiid figure, like just Philly fucking diehard.
Yeah. That'd be fire. I'd almost be a Philly fan if like that happened. Obviously not too far, but like Quez Watkins is a good player too. I played against him in college. He went to
No way. I really like Quez.
Yeah, I played against him. That's actually the fastest football team I played against. He played for Southern Miss University. What quarterback went there? Y'all should know this one. Brett Favre.
Oh.
Ah.
Yeah.
Brett Favre. Brett Favre went to Southern Miss. So Southern Miss, when we played them in 20, I want to say we played them in 2018. That was the fastest team I've ever seen. Quez Watkins called a screen, and like he got to the second level, and everybody in the stadium knew I was a touchdown. It was like a 75-yard touchdown to start the game off. Like one guy got out of his gap, they threw the screen, he caught it and was like, peace. Five. He had another receiver. I'm not sure what happened to him, but they were just a really fast team.
And yeah. Like,
him being the fastest guy on there.
So, I don't think anyone knows this. Maybe someone. When does the 2022 schedule be released for the ELF? Asked by Sun Football.
I think they said 2 weeks, around 2 weeks, isn't it? So hopefully, like after the Super Bowl, I think that's sort of the plan when everyone's quite high on football, bring out the schedule for the ELF. Pretty smart move.
Yeah, I forgot about that, man. We're going to get some more. We're going to get a lot more attention, huh? Post yeah. Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So hey, there's football in summer. Like,
literally, that'll be the case because everyone gets so bored of everything once the NFL finishes. Like, there's going to be a lot of traffic to the ELF, I reckon.
Mm. That's awesome. The ELF Reddit page is fire. Like, I actually just started, like, following that. And, like, I think the best tweets that I've seen, like, the best content or the most controversial questions I think I've seen are from, like, that Twitter account. That's, like, the ELF Reddit Twitter account. That one's fire. I'm pretty big on that.
JC Mirol in 19, that's how you say it. He's asked, what are your power rankings for the second ELF season as of now? And Tim, you've compiled some data.
I have. So basically, I looked at what other people said, and I came up with a consensus. So it is not me picking this list. And the number one is not just because Justin's here. So number one, we've got the Hamburg Sea Devils. Nicole. Mainly because who you still got there, who you've added. Right. I've got the Raiders at number two. Frankfurt have risen to number three. We did have them lower earlier, but we'll come back to that one. You've got the Wadclaw Panthers, Vienna Vikings at five, Leipzig at six, Barcelona at seven, Cologne at eight, Berlin at nine, Rhein-Fire at 10, Stuttgart at 11, and Istanbul at 12, because no one knows anything about them.
That's fair.
Istanbul is the best. Like, what if Istanbul is the best team by far?
They turned out to be runners. It's going to be hot there, by the way, in summer.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Turkey gets up to like 40 Celsius, doesn't it? Plus,
yeah.
Sometimes.
If you're used to playing in Mississippi and Texas, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah. I don't mean I like it though. Sheesh.
It's going to be an interesting season because I think some teams you will have film on and some teams you won't have film on, and then some teams you will have film on, but their personnel, I guess, will have changed a fair bit. And then the likes of Istanbul, you're not really going to have anything. So it's sort of like, I know you dealt with that last season, but I mean, I guess every game's going to be completely different in terms of what to expect and not expect.
I think as well with Frankfurt, the reason we dropped was they're the champions, but towards the end of the season, a lot of stuff came out about the treatment of players, players' conditions, et cetera, et cetera. And also, they've not yet signed anybody. But we were talking to a Galaxy player today, and they've said the management have kind of sorted themselves out. So there's going to be a lot of changes with the conditions of the players, et cetera. And they're kind of keeping signings till the last minute. So Frankfurt might be up at number two. I think they might still be good.
That's impressive. Like, I mean, that'll be impressive if the whole manager, but I think again, like the ELF is going in such a good direction. Like, I think it would be really, I don't know. I just think it'd be really weird to be like, no, I don't want to treat players better. Or like, like, why would I get them better housing? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think no one here is trying to take budget cuts because how good of the direction that the ELF is going. You know what I mean? So. And
comment on the evidence available to me, but I've seen videos that you and Jadrian did of your accommodation, looking out the window, et cetera, and you looked like you were staying in pretty good places. Whereas you see where the Frankfurt Galaxy players were playing, and I stayed in better places when I was in university, and they were shitholes.
Yeah.
So it did not look good.
Yeah. And then for them to win, man, that drives me nuts. They won. Well, like here I am looking at how nice the river is, right? And I go in there and lose, unreal. But yeah, I think that's kind of like, again, as it keeps going forward, like there should be some middle ground, because that's almost like an advantage. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's almost like an advantage where, like, you know, you're worried about, I don't know, like, you know, living conditions in your house versus, like, I'm almost not worried about anything. Like, I'm actually, only thing I'm worried about is football. You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. yeah, I think it absolutely is something that needs to be, it has to be figured out before, like,
yeah,
we can just continue to do it, because it's not fair. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, there's already kind of been, like, the small establishings of, like, a union for the ELF. So, like, mm-hmm. so, like, kind of just having players being able to be protected from franchises, et cetera. I think that was kind of, like, the issue early, and, like, where some people criticize him for the way he went about it, but, like, what other options did he have? You know what I mean? Before we just go and just say, like, it was wrong for you to approach it that way. Well, how does he approach it? And, like, the way the NFL and other leagues approach it, I'm sure, is they have a union that's established. So, like, that's kind of been something that people have been working on and pushing. So,
yeah,
we're going in the right direction. I think to go back to what you said, Craig, I'm really excited about creating rivalries, man. Like, creating rivalries and, like, just knowing guys and knowing teams. Like, I think that's something that I really like about football. You know what I mean? Like, let's just say, because I'm a Ram and I'm in the NFC West, I already knew how good San Francisco was going to be. Like, I knew that San Francisco was going to be a problem, even though it wouldn't have said that earlier. And, like, you know, just like Sean McVay, like, I'm sure Sean McVay knows San Francisco like the back of his hand. You know what I mean? So at some point, it'll be super cool to, like, look up one day and, like, you know, I'm playing against Poland, but, like, I don't really need to watch the film because I know Poland. I played Poland 3 times last year. I'm going to play them twice again this year. So it's like, I don't need to necessarily watch a ton of film on Poland. I know who Poland is. I know what they want to do.
I was going to say, like, would you say the Panthers are, like, your guys' big rivals? Because obviously you're in the same conference. You're in the same conference again this year. And you were, you know, you had some good games in 2021.
Yeah, we did. I would kind of say those are, like, they're my little brothers. I'm going to go ahead and say that. Like, I'm not. It is kind of like a rivalry, but we're winning, so not to me. And, like, you know, the one we lost, I feel like, was real. But I got a lot of respect for Poland, man. Like, Poland really, like, yeah, I got a lot of respect for Poland because they very easily could have kind of just, like, fell down to the, like, oh, well, you know, Hamburg's better anyway. Hamburg has this. Hamburg has that. Hamburg's better anyway. Versus, like, nah. Like, we're going to come out here and punch in your mouth every time. Like, we don't care anything about who's playing, how good you guys are. We don't care about any of that.
Is there any players you look forward to playing again?
Of course. I wish I knew how to pronounce his name. Terp. Terp's my guy. Terp's a cool dude. Plus, I got a lot of respect for Poland because they play real football. Not to say that other people aren't playing real football, but, like, there are things that coaches are doing, and I can tell this is good coaching. Like, this is absolutely good coaching because I would have done the same thing. So, for example, they do such a good job with Terp, right? Going into that last game that we played them, I played safety. So the move that we were making was to, I played all over defensive backfield. So I can just go wherever he goes, and it will be easier for me to do that at the safety position than the corner position. So guess what they going to do? They go and line him back up at wideout. So now that creates a conflict where, of course, I can play corner, but the guy that we're moving doesn't. So it's like, I can't just throw him back inside and play safety versus, like, you know what I mean? So it's like, it was a lot of things that it was a real chess match. So, like, I loved being a part of that. And, like, yeah, that's, if I could take a playback, it would be his last, I think it was a score to tie the game or something like that. Like, I think he ran like a fade or something, and I planned on helping him, but it just did a good job. I knew he was, we all know, everybody in the stadium knew he was going to Terp. Like, we knew he was one-on-one by himself, but he wasn't one-on-one. I was trying to make it look like he was one-on-one. Of course, Lucas probably didn't think it was one-on-one, but still, they ended up figuring it out. But yeah, man, I got a lot of respect for those guys. But I want to play Terp again. I get to play against Gene Constant every day, so that's fun. Zach will be back. Sully will be back. Yeah, I'm going to be excited to play against a lot of guys. So I'm really looking forward to playing, I don't know his name yet, but whoever Vienna signed the guy from Clemson. I'm a low level guy. So any chance I get to, like, take my shot at bigger level guys, I absolutely, you know what I mean? So That's kind of first on my list. I'm gonna go ahead and say that one.
So was that QB or wide receiver you were talking about? Sorry, there going up against for Vienna.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think I followed him on
Instagram. Got Overton. Is that his name?
Yeah. Awesome. Burlington Clemson. That's cool.
That is cool.
That's pretty awesome. And then for a dude to be like that to be a part. I'm not sure if Stretch will play, but Stretch was always fun. Stretch was actually the only touchdown I gave up this year. Stretch was a man.
And our final question. Oh, sorry, Craig, do you have a question?
I was gonna say, I think Tim's getting attacked by his cat.
Wait, say
excited to join me.
Oh. It's Tim's cat. I think his cat decided to join us.
Oh, cat's rock.
Final question. What was the number of viewers on IPTV and how many subscribed to the Game Pass at Dopius? Do we have that information?
No, I don't think we managed to find that out. I don't think those numbers got released. But there was 22,000 people in the stadium for the final, which is impressive.
Yeah, no chance we have that information.
No.
All right. Well, any other questions for Justin, lads?
Hey, have you got any questions? No. He's cool.
Justin, I mean, thank you so much for coming on. We always appreciate having a chat with you. You can see all this stuff, all our old ELF stuff on our socials. Joe, where can you find them?
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram is at TAFS_UK, and our Facebook is That American Football Show. As Adam said, ELF is starting to ramp up now, especially after Super Bowl. We'll be getting a load of content out, so yeah, keep your eyes peeled.
Justin, any socials, anything you got, you want to shout out, anything like that?
Follow me at King Hassan. That's it. Let's go Rams. Actually, that's the only thing I have to say, in fact.
I want to plug our shop. I'm rocking the merch. Like, if you want a hoodie, hat, whatever, support the pod, get up to EP Sports. We've got our own shop there.
Yeah, nobody's going to tell me about that. That's fire.
We'll bring you on next time we come to a game.
Bet. Yep, that's it. Perfect.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Yeah, this is going to be on YouTube, so make sure you check that out, That American Football Show. Make sure you check on out our friends at Lockdown Lids. If you're looking for good NFL merch, it's lots of fun raffles. Anything on there you've seen, Craig?
They're doing some more mystery boxes and stuff at the moment. They're about to have some Super Bowl themed raffles going on for signed stuff. Yeah, check them out. All of the money goes to fund local teams in the UK and help support the Baffa team. So you're not only getting something for yourself, but you're also helping grow the British League.
We have got a giveaway coming out for the Super Bowl, so keep your eyes on social media because that is where it will be announced from our friends at EP Sports, of course. Please, if you like what you're listening to, give us a rating, give us a comment, give us a like, let us know where you're listening from. But anything else before we get off, boys?
Enjoy the games on the weekend.
Yeah.
Always appreciate you guys. Love chopping it up with you guys.
All right, thank you everyone for listening. Make sure you head over and check out our friends at EP Sports for any of your NFL equipment needs. I will see you later.